Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. It was on this day, back in 1928, that singer Al Jolson released his first recorded song. What was the title of that song? Was it A, The Singing Fool, B, Ain't Misbehavin', C, Toot Toot Tootsie, or D, Old Man River? 1928, Al Jolson tune. What was it called anyway? And question number two, it was on this very day back in 1955 that Capitol Records released Magic Melody Part 2. It was the shortest song to ever be released. What was the name of that short tune? Was it A, Blue Yodel Number 9, Standing on the Corner? Was it B, Beep Beep, The Little Nash Rambler? Was it C, Shaving a Haircut, Two Bits? Or was it D, Inagata Da Vida? Or was it E, Three Little Fishies? 1955, shortest song clip ever released. The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of September the 17th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1947, that Ernest Tubb and Roy Acuff performed at Carnegie Hall in New York City, New York. It was the first country show at that venue, 1947, today. And it was 51 years ago today, 1970, that James Marshall, Jimi Hendrix, died in his London apartment at the age of 27. The death was from an overdose of sleeping pills. 1970, today. And in country music news, we have this review of an album. It's done in The Week magazine, February 14, 2020. And this album is given 3 out of a possible 4 stars. Name of the album? The Unraveling. The group? Drive-By Truckers. Unfiltered fury suits the drive-by truckers well, said Jonathan Bernstein in Rolling Stone. When we last heard from them on 2016's American Band, the Alabama-bred country rockers sounded more revved up than they had been in a decade. Band leader Patterson Hood and Mike Cooley are now well past the point of mere righteous anger, and on the truckers' first Trump-era album, the songwriters tackled touchy topics such as the border crisis, babes in cages, the opioid epidemic, heroin again, and government inspection over gun violence, thoughts and prayers. Thankfully, they don't forsake resilient melodies and sturdy playing to get their points across, said Hal Horowitz in AmericanSongwriter.com. With a tornado of two or three guitars playing at any given time and some touching quiet moments mixed in, the unraveling is a perfect storm of anger, resentment, frustration, and even glimmers of hope. And in classical music news, we have this from Quarter Notes, Fall 2021 issue, WCPE, the classical station. Great Ballet Days, September 16th through the 19th on the radio. Music and dance have been inextricably linked throughout history, and this partnership reaches some of its greatest heights in the world of ballet. We'll take a few days to feature full-length performances of some of the ballets by Tchaikovsky, Delibes, Adam, and Prokofiev, plus selected ballet highlights each day. Then there's Armchair Travelers Weekend that's coming up October 9th through the 10th on the radio. Come away with us on a musical journey around this beautiful world. From the steppes of Central Asia, down the beautiful river Moldau, and along the Grand Canyon with stops in Mexico, Africa, Norway, and more. It's certain to be an exciting and beautiful adventure. And in jazz and blues music news, we have this article published in NPR, August 23, 2021, entitled, Josephine Baker is the first black woman who will be buried at the Pantheon in Paris. Paris, the remains of American-born singer and dancer Josephine Baker, will be reinterred at the Pantheon Monument in Paris, making the entertainer, who is a World War II hero in France, the first black woman to get the country's highest honor. Le Parisien newspaper reported Sunday that French President Emmanuel Macron decided to organize a ceremony on November 30 at the Paris Monument, which houses the remains of scientist Marie Curie, French philosopher Voltaire, writer Victor Hugo, and other French luminaries. The presidential palace confirmed the newspaper's report. After her death in 1975, Baker was buried in Monaco, dressed in a French military uniform with the medals she received for her role as part of the French resistance during the war. Baker will be the fifth woman to be honored with a Pantheon burial and will also be the first entertainer honored. Holocaust survivor Simone Veil, one of France's most revered politicians, was buried at the Pantheon in 2018. The other women are two who fought with the French resistance during World War II and Nobel Prize-winning chemist Curie. The monument also holds the remains of 72 men. Born in St. Louis, Missouri, Baker became a megastar in the 1930s, especially in France, where she moved in 1925 as she was seeking to flee racism and segregation in the United States. Baker quickly became famous for her banana skirt dance routines and wowed audiences in Paris. She became a French citizen after her marriage to industrialist Jean Lyon in 1937. During World War II, she joined the French Resistance. Amid other missions, she collected information from German officials she met at parties and carried messages hidden in her underwear to England and other countries, using her star status to justify her travels. A civil rights activist, she took part in 1963 in the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom, alongside the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., who made his I Have a Dream speech. And in music research and technology, we have this article entitled, This Teen Violinist Rock Climber Was Born With One Hand. She's Happy Not to Have Two. This is published in the Charlotte Observer on August 20th, 2021, by Theoden James. If you ask Giovanna Dubuque how she lost her right hand, you might get a straight answer. And the 16-year-old student's straight answer is, I didn't lose it, it's just the way I was made. It's actually something called amniotic band syndrome. The bands that surround the amniotic sac, they're supposed to get bigger as the fetus gets bigger. And instead of getting bigger, one of them just got smaller, and it stopped the development of my hand. So, when I was born, I just had one hand. Then again, if you catch her in the right or the wrong mood, Giovanna may well try to pull your leg. I've made up so many stories, she says, laughing, as she sits in the living room of her family's home in Charlotte, where her parents settled in 2003 after moving from Venezuela. There's been the koala attack. There's been the alligator. Oh, I fell. Oh, there was a car. There was a machete one. That one was funny. Bitten off by zombies? One time it got stuck under a piano. They were like rolling it, and there's always the good old shark attack. Despite having lived her entire life this way, Giovanna continues to be fascinated and periodically just a little perplexed by the endless fascination with her missing appendage. Of course, sometimes the attention is warranted. Most notably, when she was 14, she made headlines when she became the first person in North Carolina, and one of the first in the U.S., into being fitted with a hero arm, a 3D printed bionic prosthetic arm that allows the wearer to control it using electrical signals generated naturally by his or her own muscles. She has also gotten attention for her talents with the violin, which she has played since she was in kindergarten, using a specially designed prosthetic, and for her newest obsession, climbing. Giovanna first tried scaling a wall at an indoor gym less than 3 years ago. This past June, she placed second in the AU2 category, athletes with one arm and a forearm amputation, while competing against adults at the 2021 Paraclimbing National Championships in Utah. In October, she'll head west for the 2021 Paraclimbing World Cup. While she understands why her accomplishments have attracted attention, she also thinks that people too often get overly excited about seeing someone with a disability do well. Pretty much anything. And she also wishes that those who feel sorry for her would quit it. My parents made the decision to actively try and treat me normally. They just really drilled it into my head that my limb difference wasn't my life, that I had so much more to me, and that I could be independent, that I didn't have to really depend on anybody else to live my life the way I wanted to, and that I was really free to do anything that I want. So, as a child, honestly, I didn't feel different at all. It was just like, yeah, I have a little nub. Nobody else has a little nub. That's how life is, and we move on. When I was 6, I had a friend at school who played the violin. The moment I held her violin in my hands, and I was like, I love this instrument. It seemed like so delicate, but it made this amazing sound on the inside. I was so drawn and attracted to it, I just thought, this is great, and I want to do it, and I want to do it now. I talked to my parents, and they were like, pause, what? I always like to joke that their first thought was, oh no, this is what we get for telling her that she can do anything. I was introduced to climbing by a guy at the place where I get my prosthetics. When I climb, I'm very dependent on my technique. I don't use anything on my arm and simply just go for it. I don't think of my disability as a limiter when it comes to climbing. I think of it as, in fact, something that empowers me to think differently, because I can do the same thing that someone else can do. I just have to do it differently. People often say to me, wow, you're so inspirational, and they mean well. They're trying to say something nice to make you feel better. But what I'm doing is walking across the street and someone calls me inspirational, I'm like, what am I inspiring them to do? I'll say thank you, but they don't know who I am, they don't know what I do, and they're calling me inspirational? For what reason? How are they going to make their lives any different? Real inspiration creates change. Most of the people that have said, you're so inspiring to me, probably have not created change after seeing me. At the same time, I know that I can be inspiring to someone who sees me rock climbing and is like, oh my God, I didn't think about trying that. I want to try it now. Now that is an example of inspiration. I can guarantee that when I was real little, probably I said, yeah, I kind of want two hands, just because at some point somebody probably made me feel bad about my disability. When I was about 8 years old, I was asked that question. I remembered saying, no, I don't want two hands. But I didn't really believe it. I wasn't 100% committed to my identity at the time. In high school, I distinctly remember the day I was told that my quality of life could improve if I had the use of a better prosthetic. But with a better prosthetic, I didn't think my quality of life would get any better. I said, I would be able to do more things, I would feel more comfortable, but the quality of life I live, the experiences that I'm going to enjoy, the talks that I have with my family, and the laughs that I laugh are not going to be any different because I have a better prosthetic. So after reflection, now I can say with confidence, I love having one hand. It has presented me with an insane amount of opportunities. I have gone to places, I have attended festivals, attended summits that I never would have. It has been a portal for me to find an insane amount of people in the community, the adaptive climbing community, that I had never known was there. I would have never known that 80% of the people in my current friend group existed. My disability makes me whole. There's no little voice in my head that is like, oh, your life would be so much easier if you had two hands. No, my life would be probably a lot of the same, but without as many friends, and probably into different sports, and it would be different. And I don't want that. At this point, I just wouldn't trade the life I have for anything.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind.
Harry Nilsson singing Everybody's Talking introduces our rock and pop music news. It's entitled, Who is Harry Nilsson and Why is Everybody Talking About Him? This is written by Roger Smith, published in IMDb.com. This documentary explores the enigmatic life and music of Harry Nilsson in an attempt to answer the question, who is Harry Nilsson? The film includes new and archive audio and film, including interviews with Robin Williams, Yoko Ono, Randy Newman, the Smothers Brothers, and Mickey Dolenz. Who is Harry Nilsson? Uses promotional films, music videos, and home movies segments from the unreleased documentary made during the recording of Son of Schmuelson, and excerpts from Nilsson's rare TV appearances in his BBC specials, The Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, Playboy After Dark, and in an episode of The Ghost and Mrs. Muir. It is extremely absorbing and very well crafted, drawing you into the life and career of Harry Nilsson, one of the most overlooked musical talents of the 60s and 70s. While I was familiar with his better known compositions, one is The Loneliest Number, Without You, I learned about this man's brilliant writing and beautiful singing. If you love music, you'll find plenty to draw you into his world, which unfortunately spiraled out of control as his success increased and his past haunted him. However sad, he nonetheless was completely devoted to his family, and you will find yourself so glad to have met this man. The profile is effectively told through Nilsson's own words and those of his friends and colleagues, a virtual who's who of rock who loved and respected him. Don't miss him.
Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have, and maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have.
Scotty McCreery's Always on My Mind introduces our local music news. It's entitled Scotty McCreery's Latest Song Shouts Out North Carolina's Longleaf Pines, Wild Horses, Andy Griffith. Published in the News and Observer on the 29th of August, 2021, by Josh Schaefer. Scotty McCreery released a new song, Carolina to Me, on Friday that calls out Kill Devil Hills, Linville Gorge, Andy Griffith, the wild horses on the Outer Banks, and a host of iconic images of North Carolina. The Garner native and American Idol winner plans to release Same Truck, his fifth studio album, on September 17th. It's a celebration of a decade performing country music since he won the TV singing competition, American Idol. The album's song, Carolina to Me, written by Taylor Phillips and Jeremy Bussey, compares the old North state to a blissful afterlife. Same Truck also will feature the singles Why You Gotta Be Like That and You Time, which came out earlier this year. McCreery played the Grand Ole Opry stage broadcast on WSM radio on August 31. McCreery won the 10th season of American Idol in 2011, while still a teen, going on to become the best-selling country singer that year. During the pandemic, he has made more than 130 online performances while writing and recording for the new album. McCreery penned 10 of the 12 of the album's tracks.
Give me one more chance to keep you satisfied, to keep you satisfied.
So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this day back in 1928 that singer Al Jolson released his first recorded song. What was the title of that song? And who was Al Jolson anyway? Was the song A, The Singing Fool, B, Ain't Misbehavin', C, Toot Toot Tootsie, or D, Old Man River? Correct answer? Answer A, The Singing Fool. As noted in the PBS.org article, Al Jolson, in the St. James Encyclopedia of Culture from 2000, Jolson quickly became the first movie star in the modern sense. That is, films with talking sequences, recorded in Jolson's case with the innovative Vitaphone, technology. Jolson went on to make The Singing Fool, 1928, Say It With Songs, 1929, Mammy, 1930, and Big Boy, 1930, before returning to Broadway in 1931. The encyclopedia states that Al Jolson was to jazz, blues, and ragtime what Elvis Presley was to rock and roll. Jolson had first heard African-American music in New Orleans in 1905, and he performed it for the rest of his life. Like Elvis, Jolson gyrated his lower body as he danced. In The Jazz Singer, while viewers saw Jolson moving his hips and waist in ways that they had never seen before. Historian and performer Stephen Hannon writes that Jolson's funky rhythm and below-the-waist gyrations, not seen again from any white male until the advent of Elvis, were harbingers of the sexual liberation of the new urban area. Jolson was a rock star before the dawn of rock music. Although criticized for the use of blackface, the Encyclopedia of Culture published in 2000 suggests that Al Jolson may have paved the way for African-American performers like Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Fats Waller, and Ethel Waters. It is remarkable that a Jewish mama's boy from Lithuania could do so much to help bridge the cultural gap between black and white America. And the answer to our second question, it was on this very day, back in 1955, that Capitol Records released Magic Melody Part 2. It was the shortest song to ever be released. What was the name of that short tune? Was it A, Blue Yodel No. 9, Standing on the Corner? Was it B, Beep Beep, The Little Nash Rambler? Was it C, Shave and a Haircut, 2 Bits? Or was it D, Inagata Davida? Or E, 3 Little Fishies. Correct answer, answer C, Shave and a Haircut, 2 Bits. The song itself consisted only of the last 2 notes of that musical phrase. So, bye-bye. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure. Tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.